First Peter chapter 4. Boy, were we not blessed this last week with Houghton being here and what he had to share with us. It was so good, so challenging. And I could sit and listen to him share the word. I could sit and listen to him tell stories about what all is going on in Vanuatu. I could just listen to him for hours. So appreciated his time with us. Let's remember to continue to keep them in prayer also. Two things that I want to mention before I forget here also. One, Shauna and I, next Sunday, Lord willing, are planning to be gone for a week. We're going to Duluth, to the Duluth Bible Church, to their fall conference. It's a conference that we've wanted to... No. We'll be here. We'll be here. But we're leaving after church. Oh, okay, there we go. Joel was getting worried. He was going to have to preach 2 weeks. No. Joel's going to be preaching the following week. But thank you. So we are, yeah, after church next Sunday, we're taking off, going to a pastor's conference and looking forward to that time. Wanted to get to that numerous times, and anyway, Lord willing, we'll get to go this next week. So I just want you to know that, and like I say, Pastor Joel will be sharing the following Sunday, not next Sunday, but the following one. So we'll be sharing from the Word. And I just don't think it's going to be a big deal, but I appreciate prayer for me also. I've gimped myself up, and I'm going to have surgery on my back. We don't know when yet, but it's going to be here fairly soon, Lord willing. Hopefully shortly after we get back, but I've dinged it up. And so anyway, we'll be praying for that also, okay? What it boils down to, Dr. Bayard says, this is your wake-up call. This is years of abusing your back. Yeah, and anyway, so we're got to rethink things, but that's okay. All right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8, and, well, we're going to look at 7, 8, and 9 is what we're actually going to be looking at this morning. Follow along with me as we read these few verses here. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Well, we have touched on verse 7 in the weeks past before, so 2 weeks ago, in the focus of the imminent return of Christ, right? So we had talked about that, and we touched just briefly on part B, the latter part of verse 7. A few things that I just want to go back to on that. Really, one, looking at context of this passage and what it's lying in, right? The book of 1 Peter, which is challenging believers to think rightly, to do right in the midst of trials, tribulation, persecution, to have hope and to have joy and to have peace in the midst of that. But something else that, as we're thinking of the verses following here, are key for us to understand about what this verse is saying. We had kind of focused on, last time, the fact that we need to get our minds right about the world in which we live in, right? And those whom are our opposition. That's much of what this book is about, is those who are opposing you and how do you respond to them. So looking at the world through proper eyes. But because Christ's return is imminent, we are called to be self-controlled, clear-minded and self-controlled. Colossians 3:16. I want for us to just look at a couple verses here that are help us wrap our mind around what does it mean to be clear-minded and self-controlled. The reality is, my friends, and I, as we have this opportunity, and just and because you didn't share a verse this morning, I'm not saying, oh, shame on you. But I want to challenge us that God's word should be challenging us every day, every week. We should be challenged from the word of God. We have to wake up and get ready because, my friends, if we want to just coast along and wait for the, well, it's not that bad yet. Man, I sure is going to be bad for our children someday. And we keep thinking that way. Oh, it's going, man, is it going to be bad for, I just can't stand thinking about how bad it's going to be for our kids someday. I believe we need to submit to what God's word tells us. My friends, wake up and realize that we're there. We're there. We need to realize that today is when we need to get serious as individuals about getting our minds clear and focused properly today. Not tomorrow, not when it gets really rough, but we better be starting to take on the truths of God and his word and allowing these things to take root in our heart and our mind, because when the time comes, well, certainly God will just give me the things to say and to do. Well, he can. But I'm telling you, the reality is if our hearts and minds, what I witness in my own life and what I witness in so many others' lives, if we aren't taking the truths of God's word and feeding upon it daily, when the tough times do come, guess what we end up doing first? We always go to the wrong thinking. We go to the wrong way of thinking. We go to the wrong conclusions. We go to the wrong way of looking at others. We go to the wrong, we come to the wrong view of what of who God is. So we have to be students of the word. And I know that many of us, and I pray that all of us are. I think there's amongst us, it's just such a joy to see and hear and to see the, all those involved in Bible studies and just hearing what people are learning. And so it's so good. But we must get our minds clear and be self-controlled. What does that mean? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So as you are taught and admonished, as you are taught in learning in, of the word of your on your own, as you're getting into the word and studying it for yourself, as you are taught these things and you take these things and take them to heart and allow it to transform your mind, my friends, that is where your hope is. That's what's going to carry you through these rough days and to do it victoriously. It's easy to know principal truths, and yet when we're faced with the moment, what do we give into? What do we end up doing? So often, we end up giving into our own flesh. Well, boy, I know that that's, but I'm sorry, I can't think that way about that person, or I can't pray for them for their salvation. I just want them to go to hell, right? And I would dare say that we have those crazy thoughts that go into our head, and we can't go there. That's not who we are. That's not who Jesus is, praise the Lord. That's not what he does. So we have to get our thoughts right. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the gracious appearing of our Lord, or of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And I love as it finishes there. While we wait for the blessed hope. You and I, if you know Jesus, we have a blessed hope. and we're longing and looking forward to that imminent return, that return of Christ, or when we're going to get to see him face to face, maybe when he takes us home as an individual. But what joy, what hope we have. And then Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There's not a lot of that going on these days. There's not a lot of discernment that happens, unfortunately. It saddens my heart to hear. Houghton was sharing with me something that just saddens my heart, and I need to explore it myself a little bit more. I believe absolutely what he was saying was true, but a ministry which we would have supported greatly through the years has gone woke, has bought into this critical race theory mindset, and it's like it grieves your heart. Are you kidding me? How can we go there? How can you lack enough discernment to see what is true about what God says who we are and who he is, right? And to see ourselves in light of that, how can we abandon those truths and go off on the crazy philosophies of thinking that the world is trying to shove down our throats today? My friends, there's not a lot of discernment going on today. But I pray it is within your heart and your mind. And the way it's going to is when you get your mind and heart wrapped around the truth of God and his word. What does his word say is true about who he is and who you are in light of him? And to believe those truths, what he has done and what he is going to do. Yes, Teresa?
There's a lot of people that don't know what woke is.
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, basically, woke is... it's going down the road, the path of the critical race theory, for one, thinking that we have reparations that we need to pay. We are privileged white people, and we have got to repay the minorities. We need to repay them. We gotta, and so they go through this great confession and all of these broken. Oh, it's like what in the world, and wanting to hold us accountable to the generations of sins of the past. And it's like, no, Jesus takes us from here and he says, no, you're set free. And now live it. Now live the new life in Christ. And so that would be another great discussion, something it would be good to spend a little time on that. I won't be doing that today though, okay? But it's a messed up, but critical race is a part of that. And there's much more to it, okay? But many ministries, many churches are going that direction, and it is not biblical, I promise you. Just study the word. Study out what they say, what they're saying, and compare it to God's word, and you will find it is heresy, absolute heresy. And it's so sad to see what's happening. So, discernment. Know good from evil. If you and I have any hope of going through this journey and this time and this place, as we had as the theme of such a time as this, if we have any hope, we better get our minds wrapped around these truths of God and his word. Well, then you will be able to pray. If you don't get your mind and be self-controlled and have a sober mind, okay, thinking clearly, through the lens of God and his word, okay, being under control, not swept away by every philosophy, way, teaching, but being self-controlled, desiring holiness in your own life. If we aren't desiring holiness in our own life, there is no, where do we start when it comes to our relationship with Christ? We have to be desiring the path of holiness, hating sin and loving truth, walking in the truth, confessing sin, walking in the truth, right? We have to be living in that way in order for us to enjoy our prayer life, which is communication with the Lord. We want to have, if we want to have open and joyful fellowship with the Lord, we have to be walking in step with the Lord. Not perfect. We don't do that perfect. But our heart's desire, our desire is that we do want to walk in truth. And in a way, dealing with our sin and then walking in his truth. Galatians 5, if we know him, we will walk in step with the Spirit, right? Important for us to understand. Then you will be able to pray. Your mind and your life will be tuned into the heart and mind of God and his word. When your mind is self-controlled, when your mind is tuned into this book, to the truths of God and his word, and you take it for what it says, you take the truth of God's word and allow those truths to transform your thinking and your life and desire to walk in it, and with that, you will enjoy a healthy prayer life. Your mind and your life will be tuned in to the heart and mind of God and his word. Be holy, my friends, for I am holy. In 1 Peter, we looked at that, just reminding us to go, take us back to holiness, having a heartbeat, a desire to live in holiness. Not perfectly. We don't become perfect. God looks upon us. He looks upon us as perfect because of Christ's shed blood and his sacrifice made on our behalf. But we're still, practically speaking, in this life, we deal with sin, but we're quick to confess it. Quick to confess it and deal with it. This is important for us as we think of what we'll be looking at here in a few moments. In 1 Peter 13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Remember when we studied this out, just remember, that's the world. The world is living in ignorance. That's what we once were. But we're not that anymore. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been transformed, we've given new life, and we've been given purpose, hope, and the ability, because of the Spirit of God in us, to now live out this life for his glory. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Taking us back to the Old Testament. Love each other with an intense love. What is it then with the imminent return of Christ, the reality that Christ is coming soon? We need to get clear-minded. We need to be self-controlled. We need to get our life in order in a way that is pleasing and honoring to him. And we're not doing it because, oh, I want to do great things for God. But no, Lord, here I am, broken, a broken vessel before you. One that desperately needs your love, your kindness, your forgiveness, your grace. And as you work through me, Lord, please help me to be useful for your glory. I need to depend upon your strength, upon your will, your desire for my life, Lord, that I would live it out in such a way that I will bring glory and honor to you. Love each other in an intense love. As it tells us here, above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. An interesting couple of things to consider about this verse. It is a sacrificial love. It's sacrificial. You and I have been saved and redeemed and brought into a relationship with Christ that is all about dying to self and living for him. My life is no longer my own. It belongs to him. And what a joy it is to let him live through us, for him to work through us, and for him to be glorified and honored through our lives. And this love that we give towards one another, this should be displayed right here, always. This kind of love should absolutely always be displayed within this body, within the body of believers, within the church. It should absolutely be sacrificial. We're on the same page. We have one God. We have one Savior. We have one Spirit. We have one baptism. We have all of these things in common. We have one purpose, and it's to bring glory and honor to God, and we of all people should have a love for each other like none other, an intense love for each other, showing love and kindness even when wrong has been done to you, showing love when you will get nothing in return except what is eternal in those rewards, doing it all through His strength and for His glory, a sacrificial love. I can't imagine how it must grieve the heart of God when He looks at a body of believers and watches fighting and bickering and unforgiveness and hatred and cliques and things going on within the body. It's like, who are you representing? Who are you living for? And I have to tell you, no, we're not a perfect bunch of people here. But I can tell you in the 19 years that we've been here, my friends, we have seen this displayed pretty amazingly. We really have. This has been such a blessed work of God to see a group of people who ultimately our desire is to have a right attitude towards one another and to have a love. And I believe we're growing in that, and we should be. We should be growing in that more than ever, that we have a love for each other. We are important to one another. And in these times, as I was talking about in 1 Peter, of the times of trials, tribulation, and persecution, the church means everything, right? It does. It's God's design and it's purpose, His purpose. And He says, love each other intensely. Keep loving like one who is running a marathon. You're in it for the long haul. You're in it for the long haul. I can't even imagine, frankly. I can't even imagine running a marathon. But what it must take to press on. There are those out there, they say that, and I don't know, I guess I should have looked into it. They say that the fastest time a marathon has been run, this doesn't even seem possible, but they say within 2 hours, 2 hours time. That's amazing. That's crazy. The intensity, the focus, the clarity that has to be in the mind of that runner to say, I am going to put everything into this because I'm going to reach the goal. The goal is in sight. What is our goal? What is our purpose? Our goal and our purpose is to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ and to be a reflection of Him. And we do that. What does He use to reflect Him? The body of Christ. He uses us to reflect Him in this lost and dying world. And He says, we of all people should have this intense love, this same commitment as it takes to run a marathon, and the tenacity, the courage, the strength, the grit. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to, because I have the goal in mind. But oh, the temptations that we have to veer to the right or to the left and take a different road and not finish the race and basically compromise the body of Christ, compromise our testimony, compromise ultimately people's view of what Jesus looks like. It's devastating. But He tells us to have this same commitment. This earnestness, this word here that is given in this passage, deeply, this deep, this earnest, maybe your Bible says earnest love for each other. That word is the same word that is given when it talks about Jesus' earnest prayer. As He is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He is sweating blood in the garden, this intensity, His great love for us. Why was He praying in this way? Why was He sweating blood? Was because of His love for us. And we are to have that kind of love for each other. That's significant, my friends. Lord, help us to have that mindset and that heartbeat towards one another. Help us to think of each other and that we love each other because we have a common bond. And it's in Christ. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. and he sweat his and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. What else does love do? Love forgives, and it forgives again and again. That's what love does. Love is willing to forgive. And what is our example? What Christ has done for us. Think about what Christ does for us over and over. And ultimately, the forgiveness is, it's done, right? He has paid the price. It's paid in full. But when we choose then, as a follower of Christ, when we choose to walk in disobedience, he is willing to forgive, right? It's paid for. It's paid for. If there's true repentance there, if there's a true turning from our sin, a true turning from it, it's forgiven. It's paid for. It's done. And the reality, the importance, though, is to understand that in order for us to enjoy fellowship with him, there has to be a right heart attitude with us towards him. Sins are forgiven, paid for. It's done, it's complete. But if we want to enjoy that fellowship, if we want to enjoy the goodness of the Lord in our personal life day in and day out, if we want to be able to forgive others as he has forgiven me, I have to have the same view towards sin as he has. We love to bring about, we love, why? To bring about reconciliation. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. If we go back to this passage, it tells us, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. This doesn't mean that sin doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we're sweeping sin under the rug and saying it's no big deal. But what it says is for the greater cause, we are always going to choose to love, which means sacrifice. We're going to choose to give of ourselves. We're going to set ourselves, our own selfish desires and feelings aside, and to say, I'm going to choose to love them anyway because that's what Christ does for me. And in the process, then, we always are praying, Lord, use this journey of showing love and forgiveness that they ultimately might be broken. And for that matter, there's usually, it's a two-way street. We have our own things that we need to forgive, ask for forgiveness in, and get right before the Lord. But this idea of being willing to forgive the sins of those among us that are against you or that are against the Lord, to love them anyway. We don't hate them. We hate the sin. I don't know if you read the blurb in the paper here this last week of what was shared at the school board meeting. And I wish that, I've been praying though, well before it, that I say what I needed to say and say it clearly, and I have to believe that what was said was said. But the reality is, thinking of those out there whom we have direct opposition to, in the sense that we of what how they're living, the LGBTQ. I don't know if I got that right. I don't think I did. But anyway, right? God loves them, and you and I should love them. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. We love them. And we should desire, any of us, I don't care what our hang-up, I don't care what our sin is, when we're living in sin, we're broken before God. We're a broken people. And we need to be brought into right relationship. Well, we need the truth. And I hope and pray that that is our heartbeat and our desire. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It does not mean to dismiss sin. Sin always has to be dealt with. Sin always must be dealt with. Luke 17:3, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. But the reality is, I am so thankful that God chooses to love me even when I choose to dishonor him. Take his example that he does for us. He loves us and he forgives us. And when there's true repentance, forgiveness is a done deal. It's paid for. It's done, right? And so we are to have this mindset also as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not to be against each other. We are to love each other and desire more than ever. If we are claiming to know Christ as Savior, we are desiring to walk in step with him, and we should be loving each other enough to deal with one another's hang-ups and brokenness, but always with the desire for reconciliation, ultimately for fellowship with the Lord. The only way that fellowship can happen with the Lord is when everybody deals with their sin and people confess their sin and choose to get it right. But even when somebody who has done us wrong maybe gets us, wants to take us down the, we want to go down the path of being broken and messed up in that, no, I'm not going to. No, I'm going to love them anyway. That's what the church does. That's what the church should do. We don't see that and don't hear of that much in our day and age, but that's what the church is supposed to do. And the last I want to look at is be hospitable. Be hospitable. That actually means to be willing to take in strangers, ultimately. And in the context of this, in as there was the traveling preachers, they would be going from different place to place, and they certainly couldn't go and stay anywhere because. If people knew what they were doing, they had a target on their back. They probably were going to pay a dear price. So believers knew each other. Believers were caring for each other and were willing to take one another in and to care for each other, to be hospitable. I love what Matthew 25:35-40 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Look and listen to what the heart of God is. My friends, we need to love each other, care enough for each other to be hospitable to one another and to those who we don't know, but especially to brothers and sisters in Christ specifically. But it's not that leaves us, obviously we need to be a testimony, a witness of Christ to the lost also, and caring for them. Luke 14, as we close, 14:12-14. "Then Jesus said to his host, 'When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" What is your motivation for giving and caring for others? What is my motivation? It should be ultimately always about God's glory. Not what it's in it for me, but what is in it for them. how can I be a blessing? How can we be an encouragement to each other? And my friends, this is an important passage in the days in which we live in. Love each other. Be hospitable. Care for each other. Be clear-minded. Get your thoughts tuned in to this book. I want to challenge you. Be in it every day. Be in it every day. And when you aren't able to get into it, don't beat yourself up. Get just tomorrow, the next day, get into it, right? Get into the Word and let Him speak to you. You need it and I need it. Amen? Let's stand as we close. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, with the thought of the imminent return of Christ, what that means for us, that it should spur us into action. We should desire to live in a life of holiness personally as individuals walking in the truth. But also, Lord, we should then desire to be living out this life of holiness, of caring for each other, loving each other as you love us. And being sacrificial, thinking of others first rather than ourselves. Lord, thank you for being such a great example to us. We love you. We pray that you'll just bless our time of fellowship and then our time of Sunday school together. And bless this week. Lord, help us to be attentive to your will and to your leading in our lives this week, that we might proclaim you and your glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You're dismissed.